Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Reverend Yusuf Hashway entitled Seeking My Brothers. This week he will be focusing on Luke 22 and Genesis 37 as we begin the Missions Fest series, Hard Places. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message on our website, eastbrook.org/hardplaces.
I bring you greetings from the Holy Land of Jordan, where Jesus walked and talked. Amman is one of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, where Jesus did many of the miracles, and he walked in our land. And I invite you to come and visit Jordan. We have Petra. I'm sure you heard of Petra, a city built in the rock, and many people come from all over the world to come and visit us. So this is perhaps a mission field for you to bring a group and come and visit not only the dead stones, but the living stones, the church as well. And so we can really continue feeling as twin sisters, because really this is what we feel. As we have known Pastor Mark Erickson, as I said, all the Erickson dynasty throughout the years, with Matt now, although not blood brothers, but we are really happy to continue serving and interacting together as churches. We need each other. I always say in Arabic, one hand cannot clap. We need two hands, so we both can work and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. My message this day for us all, and I hope God will speak to each one of us, under the title, Whom Are You Seeking? Whom Are You Seeking? You know, seeking attention is a natural inclination in us all. Everybody seeks attention, even little children. You find little children making special noises, and their mothers can tell. They want attention. They want people to love them, to hug them. Young men seek attention, how they drive sometimes in their cars and make some noises, so some ladies will again look at them, and the ladies will do the same, perhaps wear special clothes or do certain things. They want people to have attention. But you know what really draws the real attention of people around us? It is the genuine love that we have for people around us. People want to see genuine love. And I, as I mentioned earlier in the previous service, I still remember in 1982, I went with my wife Lydia to Greece. And I remember the person who was in charge of the youth group, his wife was a really loving person. His name was a strange name. His name was Naughty, but she was not naughty at all. She loved people from all her heart. She would come to this young man and say, "Ah, you like ice cream, vanilla ice cream." So she would give him. "You like chocolate, you like strawberry." You know, she loved each one in a personal way. I still remember her. That lady was full of love, full of love. We like to draw attention to ourselves. My father told me that when he proposed to my mother, that was in Jaffa, Palestine then, before 48, my father was a musician, and all of the family, we play music. So he was playing the piano, and then they told my mom to be that this man, he's proposing to you. So she came, and when he saw her, he started playing the best, his best, in order to draw attention, in order to draw attention. Let me tell you today a story from the New Testament and a story from the Old Testament under the title, Whom Are You Seeking? You know, in the last days of Jesus on earth, we see the chief priests, they were gathering together. They had one thing on the agenda. They seeked to see Jesus. But their seeking was to kill him. They had one, when they met as a summit meeting, they had one item on the agenda. They wanted to kill Jesus. And sometimes killing does not have to be with bullets or cannon or rifles. Sometimes we kill others by saying lies about them, or trying to put them down or speak about their reputation. I know that the church here does not do this, but it's our church in Jordan, they do this. And we try to put people down. You know, if I put people down, then I'm down with them. But when I take them up the ladder, then I go up with them. When I'm really put them people first, then God will put you first. But these people, they came around Jesus, and in order to fulfill their evil plan, they used this disciple called Judas. And they were ready to pay him 30 pieces of silver. And I tell you, when you have a plan to kill somebody, as I said, in reputation or anything like that, then Satan will hurry up to give you all the right tools. Judas was ready to implement the plans of the chief priests. They took that song, nice song, and put it on the tree. They crucified him. We don't want this man to rule over us. We don't want him. This is what the world is doing. But I want to divert our attentions this morning, not to the killing, but to the seeking others to bless them. Seeking others to bless them. We read in Genesis 37 the story of Joseph. And I'm sure you know the story of Joseph. I like always to think of Joseph, not because this is my name, but because he resembles Christ in many ways. I don't see grumbling in the life of Joseph. I don't see backbiting or any evil plans for his brothers. I see the opposite. You know, his brothers, the Bible tells us, let me just quote from the Bible, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. His brothers hated him. And then it says again in verse 8 of chapter 37, and they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he had said. And then it continues again in verse 11. His brothers were jealous of him. They hated him. They hated him the more. They were jealous of him. They had plans to kill him, to destroy his life. But his motto in life was, I am committed to my brothers, whatever it takes. I want to seek their blessings, to seek them, to bless them, to give them. And the story goes that his father, Jacob, told him, son, I want you to go and look for your brothers. So he had to leave home. He was 17 years old, and he went all the way. And the Bible tells us that on the way, he was lost. He didn't know his way. So a man found him and asked him this question, whom are you seeking? And he said, I am seeking my brothers. I'm seeking my brothers. Joseph, let me remind you, your brothers hated you. They hated you the more. They envied you. Yes, but I'm determined to love them. You know, love is not an emotion only. Love is a decision. I have this decision to love my neighbor, to love my wife, to love my children. Nowadays, let me tell you, the attack of Satan is on the family. Or in fact, it's on two institutions that God started, the family and the church. He wants to divide families. The rate of divorce, you know more than I do. It's going higher and higher. And this is not only in the West, but in the East as well. I heard that even in Jordan, the highest rate of divorce in the area is in Jordan. Many people, they don't accept each other. They hate each other. Joseph's brothers, you know, hated him. But what happened that God dealt with Joseph first? He had these heavenly dreams. God dealt with him and showed him that he will be a blessing to his brothers. And these were like a road map for his life that will continue, that continued with him, that God has dealt with me. in order to be a blessing to my brothers. And I always say that you cannot forgive others without being forgiven first. You cannot love others without being first loved from God. God wants to start with us before seeking others, before going out to the hard places, before going out to the hardest places on earth. That's the hearts of people. You know, sometimes when you think of hard places, immediately perhaps countries pop up like Saudi Arabia, Iran, North Korea, Afghanistan. And we think that these are the hardest places on earth. But I'm here to tell you that the heart of man and woman, they are the hardest places on earth. And God wants to start with the heart, to move our hearts, to change us through visions and dreams. In our area, we see a lot of this. Many a times people come to me or to the church and say, we have seen this dream. We are Muslims, but we have seen this dream. A lady came and she said, I have seen in my dream a river of very nice fresh water. And in Jordan, we don't have much water anyway. So, and she said, I saw a big loaf of bread, nice bread. And then she said, I saw a light. What does that mean? So I told her, although I'm not Joseph of old, but this is speaks about Jesus. He's the river. He's the water of life. He's the light. He's the bread of life. God is doing the job. He wants us to be just a little chain, a little part of the big chain that draws people to himself. We are spending most of our time, people are spending their time in hating others. You know, with a little smile, you can win a war. But with little harsh words, you can start a war. With a smile. Smile at people, they smile back at you. Shake hands with people, they shake hands with you. God wants us to go the second mile. Joseph had the decision, I want to seek my brothers to love them, to help them, regardless of what they were planning. They were planning to kill him. They have put him in a very dark tunnel that took him about 13 years from the age of 17 to the age of 30. He was going down the drain, down the road to the prison, to a hard time in Egypt. But he had one thing on his mind. I want to seek my brothers all my life. It's not a one-time decision for just a certain period of life. It wasn't just an emotion for that period, but he wanted to continue for his brothers. Many times, you know, Satan draws the picture that our brothers, they are our enemies. The story is told about a man was in a jungle at night, and he lost his way, so he was afraid. And then when he heard a noise coming from the other side, he thought there's a wild animal coming to attack me. So he was really nervous and very afraid. And the noise became stronger and stronger, and he was more terrified. When finally that thing came close to him and he really opened his eyes to see that that was his brother. It wasn't his enemy. Why do we have sometimes conflicts? Within the family, within the church, or within the churches around. Satan tries to draw the picture that your brother and your sister, they are your enemies. But Joseph, because God dealt with him, he had victory, and he wanted to bless his brothers, to extend his hand more for his brothers. I like the story of that old man who saw a little kitten was in a wall, and the kitten was screaming, wanted to get released from her place, but she was stuck there. So the old man just put his hand and tried to release the kitten. It bit him, scratched him. So, but then again, she was screaming, so he tried again, put his hand, and scratched him again. For the third time, scratched him again. And so a young man was sitting beside him, said, "Sir, this kitten will continue scratching you. Stop it." And he said, "The kitten's nature is to scratch, but my nature is to love." People will scratch you in hard places, even not in hard places. They will continue to scratch you. But will we go in the power of God? People around us, they need the Lord. They need the Lord. They are not satisfied with their lives. Many of the refugees that we help in our area, they come to us from Iraq and Syria, and all of them are full of hurt, full of hurt. And we tell them, you either concentrate on your hurt or on your healer. You have the choice. You can concentrate on your problem or on Jesus. Many times you concentrate on our hurt. Ah, my brothers hate me. I'm stuck in here. They are planning to kill me. Nobody's with me. Remember, if Jesus is with you, nobody's against you. And you and Jesus, you make the majority. If Jesus is with you, you and Jesus are the majority, not the minority. The world thinks that you are just few people here, and perhaps you are faithful in your work and people are against you. Jesus was with Joseph all his life through. He continued with him to help him, to encourage him more and more. Brothers, we need each other here. Don't wait until we go to heaven. In heaven, we can say that we have all the love in heaven. But here, we need to really bear one another, to love one another, take the burdens of one another. People need the Lord. People need the Lord around us. This man, Joseph, continued all the way. He wanted to go and see his brothers. But when they saw him, they were planning to kill him. They said, "Oh, this is the man who came now, and we want to just throw him and kill him." This is what they had in mind. I remember a story of a lady that came to our house about perhaps 2 months ago by the name Rita. And ISIS took that lady and used her as a sex slave for 2.5 years. She was a broken lady. She kept crying. Even her voice was so weak, she couldn't speak well. So my wife took care of her. And she told us very, very sad story, very sad story, how they used to sell her from house to house. And she paid a very, very high price, very high price. But then she came to the point, because of Jesus, I forgive all these adversities. You know, opportunities always comes to you disguised in adversities. Opportunities always comes to you disguised in adversities. You think of something as a problem, and God wants to transfer that to be a blessing. War in our area is not a blessing. War in Iraq, war in Syria was never a blessing. But I can say and testify before God in the last at least 29 years that I have served with the refugees that I have seen hundreds and thousands of people come to know the Lord who have left Iraq and Syria, and they were under pressure. But somehow God changed that catastrophe into a blessing. Somehow God changed it to open the eyes of people to know that there is God. Even if all the doors around them are closed, still the door of heaven is open. They can always look up and find a refuge in God. Many people come and they have the injuries, they have the hurt. I told the story of an engineer who was in Iraq. He had a very good position. His wife was a professor at the university. They had 2 children. But when ISIS came to Iraq, they were told in 2 hours you have to leave your place, otherwise they will kill you. So the wife tried to take some stuff with her just to leave home. And she told us she had some gold at home, so she wanted to take the gold with her. She tried to hide it. She thought if she puts it in her hair, under her hat, then she can flee through the checkpoint. But when she came to the checkpoint, a lady came to search her. She said, "What do you have here in your hair? Let me see." And then, you know, the gold fell. So the lady was crying, "Please, this is for my husband. He's sick. He needs the money. We want to buy medicine." And that really vicious lady said, "Your life or your gold." And they lost everything. They came to church. We loved them. We took care of them. They used to come every meeting to the church. And the Lord reached out to them. Both of them accepted the Lord. Their children were in the youth group. And before he left to Australia, after he got his visa, before he left to Australia, he came to the pulpit and he said, "I want to tell you, I want to thank God for ISIS because through them I came to Christ." That's not easy. It's not easy to say. Your enemies. Now perhaps many people come to your mind and say, "I will never forgive that person. This is so hard for me. He did injury to me. He really." But when we look at the life of Joseph and compare it to the life of Jesus, he came from heaven all the way. He became as a refugee from heaven to our earth to love us, to give us forgiveness. And people bit him. They started scratching him. "We don't want this to rule over us." Then finally they put him on the cross. But he continued, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He continued to bless them, to give them. Will we take the decision today to seek our brothers? It's a costly decision. I remember in 1991 when we took the decision to open our church for the refugees, it was costly because now we are taking care of about 1,050 families that we are feeding them regularly. We have a clinic for them, as Pastor Dan said. And we help them regularly. It's a tough decision. You could perhaps take the decision to say no. My plate is full. I have no time. As somebody said, "I like humanity. It is humans I don't like." But sometimes we say, am I my brother's keeper? Why should I care about them?" But the Lord is telling us today, seek your brothers. Seek your sisters. Touch them with the touch of Christ to love them. People need the Lord. People around us need the Lord. And I tell you a secret, that once you start investing in others, God will take care of your needs. And this is my experience. Once you start loving others, God will take care. You say, "I'm hurt. I need somebody to take care of me." You have that recorder always saying, you need somebody, but the Lord says, go out of that pit. It's a pit, it's a mire, a very muddy pit that keeps us going round ourselves, spitting ourselves, and saying the old story again and again, "I need somebody to take care of me." But God is telling us this morning, invest in others. For the rest of your life, invest in others. Will you seek your brothers today? I don't know what does that mean to you. Helping them perhaps in a physical way. Many people are in need physically. In our area, all these refugees come and we try to help them. But I can testify before you that in the last 29 years, God has supplied all of our needs according to his richness. And the ministry goes on and on. And I don't know how. Every time we don't have money in the kitty, the Lord provides. And the clinic is serving. We have about 4 or 5 doctors, 3 or 4 nurses every week. We see many, many of these sick people, and we provide them with free medication, free consultation, and God's name is being glorified. Will you seek your brothers? Ask him, "Lord, what do you want me to do today? How should I respond to this? I don't want another message and then it goes there, but what actions do you want to take me? Joseph took a long action, as I said, not only one time, but he was in charge or he was responsible to help his brothers all his life, all his life. I pray that God will use this example to be a blessing to our lives as we continue, that God will use us the rest of our lives to invest in others, to bless them, and be just a blessing to them. May God bless this church richly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for the life of Jesus. You came from heaven all the way to bless our lives. Thank you that we can invest in others as well. Thank you for the life of Joseph, that he had this motto all his life, seeking his brothers, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Lord, we want to follow your steps. I pray for our sister church and twin church here in Eastbrook, that you'll bless this church and the leadership, that they continue to be a lighthouse to the community around them. Lord, you brought all the world around them. I pray that they will continue to bless and invest in others, and that you will reward them richly. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Reverend Yusuf Hashway. Join us for our weekend worship services on Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information about Eastbrook, please visit our website at eastbrook.org.